Good morning. Everybody doing okay this morning? I know the Chiefs are playing at noon, so I'll get you out at 11:59. They're saying, what? Just kidding. Now we got. I mean, we're having service till 12:30, and God's got some things for us this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Thomas and Amity, for inviting us and having us here. It's always our honor and our privilege to watch what God is doing. As Pastor Thomas said, they served with us for 3 years, and also it's good to see Beth and Eddie all the time. They serve. How long were you guys with us? Six and a half? Wow. And so we've had the honor to be able to be a part of a process when God begins to continue to do work in people's lives, and we're grateful to be here. There's things that are very obvious to me in this season of my life. I want everybody to say season. Say season. Season. See, God works in seasons, and I've experienced some really, really good seasons. I've experienced some really difficult seasons in my life. But one of the greatest seasons of my life was when I got rescued by God off the streets, out of my addictions, out of my struggles, out of the world that surrounded me in that time, and God rescued me, and it was such a good season. I never felt the hope and the excitement and the understanding of a love that's immeasurable and that comes without condition. And so it was a great season for me when I first surrendered my life to Him, and I said, God, I'm not sure where I'm headed, but if You got a plan for my life, I'm in. And so that was a tremendous season, and part of the journey that started 31 years ago, and it included a season of where I met my lovely wife, Sandra. Sandra, would you please stand? And would you help me and just say, man. 38 years ago, we celebrated our 38th anniversary in August. And wow, have I endured? No, I'm just kidding. I told her, man, she has put up with me for 38 years. And man, I love her. And God is just continuing to do things in our lives. I've got 3 children, and I'm getting ready to have grandchild number 6 in November. And so I said, wow, what happened? You know, things seem to happen so quickly. But I just thank you so much, guys, for receiving us and inviting us. And it's always great to be here. We feel like we're at home here every time we come. Sometimes I go and I feel like there's a lot of pressure, and I just feel like I'm amongst family. And so thank you for your hospitality. All of you guys, we met with the leaders on Friday, and it just was so special. And so God bless you. I want you to know you're in a good place. You really are. You're in a good, I didn't say perfect place, because there is no such thing. You're in a great place. And so I'm excited to be a part of this part of the journey with you in this season of your life. You know, we stepped in out of the airplane and out of the terminal in Kansas City on Thursday evening, Sandra, Thursday night. Friday, yeah, it was Friday. I thought it was Thursday, but it's Friday. And we stepped out, and when we got out of the terminal to get our shuttle, all of a sudden, man, it was different. It was cold. We left, it was 90-something degrees, and we stepped out, and all of a sudden, the wind was blowing, and we knew we were not in Brownsville, Texas anymore. And I recognized that the season had changed. Okay? And here's what I want to encourage you in today. Seasons come and seasons go. And if we trust God in whatever season we're in, He will get us to those people, places, and things that we are ordained to be a part of in our lives. And so that's what I want to say to you this morning. There's a lot in my heart. There's a lot in my spirit. But I want you to know this is a new day. Everybody say new day. It's a new season. I don't think it's a coincidence that God ushered, or maybe it is to you, but to us, it's not a coincidence that God ushered us in from one place to another, and from one afternoon to the next when we got here, the season had changed. I say to people all the time, it seems like God takes forever to do something suddenly. And so I want your hearts to be expecting for God suddenly to finish things in your life, including the project that you're in the middle of right now. Has it seemed like it's taken forever? And then it's going to happen. It happened that quick. God seemed to take forever to do things suddenly. And I just want you to have an expecting heart for God to do something suddenly in your life, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, in your business, in your church, in the churches in the city, in this region, for God to do those things that only He can do. So I just want to thank you this morning for being faithful to the Lord first and foremost, and then to this fellowship as you guys together walk out the purpose and the destiny that God has for your life. You know, Isaiah 43, I want to take you there this morning. And I'm going to share six words out of this passage of scripture in Isaiah 43. I started to tell the story of how I got to this message in the first service, and I didn't finish it because I got zeroed in on some things. But I was two, three weeks ago, I was reading in my one-year Bible, and I got to a place in the scripture it's a Bible that I write in. God speaks to me. I want to encourage you to read the Bible or your phone or whatever, but read it. And then when you get to certain things, God speaks things to you in one season that may not make sense to you. And in another season, He begins to do something. And then you look back and you say, that's what God was saying, and now I'm living in it. Or that's what He meant, and this is what that is now. And so this is a season to mark some things. Please hear me this morning. As you begin to hear what you feel the Lord may be saying to you in your reading time, in your worship time, mark those things that He's saying to you. And you'll look back and you'll say, man, He was right. It seemed like God took forever to do something suddenly. Well, I was reading in my one-year Bible, and I was in this passage of scripture in Isaiah 43. And it's a passage of scripture that a lot of times is preached in the new year, because it talks about new things and new days, as we'll hear here in just a little bit. But this was different. This is, everybody say, new day. This is a new day. It's a new season, but it's not quite like other seasons. You see, my challenge is that I hear the Lord say, I'm doing something new, and I think the new looks like something old, something I'd previously experienced that was new. And so I put expectations and boundaries around what God wants to do, and I let it be my new day instead of His new day. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So don't put up barriers. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you to this new day, this new season that He has for you. You have a little bit of an idea that's kind of shaped and forming that you're pursuing, and you think it's like this. Don't limit Him to just that, because this new season, this new day is beyond that. And so you just trust Him. You say, well, how will I know when I'm there? He says, you'll know when you get there. And you'll say, oh, that was that. That was God that's talking to me. So don't get in a hurry. Don't be anxious. You keep pursuing the Lord in that you're pursuing Him right now in this season of your life, and you're going to get to that day. Does that make sense? So just chillax. Hey, listen, sometimes we just got to chillax. Okay, I don't know if that's a word, but we just got to, we just got to trust God. So I was reading, and then 2 weeks ago, and I had a message prepared. I didn't get to it this morning. I'll probably get to some of that tonight. But He took me, I was in Isaiah 43. And I was reading, and I noted that I had put some specific words that I'm going to give you this morning. There were six words in this, and I wrote it on the margin of my Bible, which every line He said, He just spoke something. I would just one word. And then I looked at the Bible, and on the other margin, it had 2017. I've preached this text before, but in a totally different way. This time when I read it, it said 2017, here's six words that God gave me, and I've not yet released them. And God said, this is a year to release them. I want to preach this message in my church. I haven't preached it yet. I shared some of it in Laredo last week as I was there ministering at our home church that celebrated their 36th anniversary. And so I want to release this. I don't want to preach to you this morning as much as I want to release what I believe is a word that God wants you to get a hold of. Amen? How many of you ready to hear something from the Lord this morning? Okay? For you, for your family, for your church, for your city. Let's go to Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, but now, everybody say now. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. Everybody say now. He says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. And when I read that, it's kind of like, Richard, who are you listening to? Who's saying that to you? Who's got your ear? Who's got your attention? Who's got you to turn from what I've been saying to you and have said to you to what you're currently hearing? I know what culture says. I know what's going on in Washington. I know what's going on in your state. I know what's going on in the border. We live on the border, and we got a lot of stuff going on right now on the border. It's very controversial. It's very divisive. It doesn't matter who you talk. There's just chaos. There's just all kinds of stuff going on, and we're listening to this source, and we're listening to that source. and we're getting their opinion, and we have their thoughts about this, and we have that person's thoughts about this, and then we have what our families tell us. There's so many voices that are trying to speak into our lives, into the church, and the Lord says, okay, in the midst of all that now, everybody say now. He says, now listen to me. Listen to me. He says, I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that gave you that saved you, that rescued you. He says, I'm the one, he says, I created you, he said, O Israel, and I'm the one who formed you, says the Lord. Listen, I want you to know that God has created you. If you're born again and he saved you, and now he's forming you. He says, I'm formed you on purpose the way you are for a purpose. God doesn't do things by accident. So he says, I'm forming you and I'm shaping you because I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. Jeremiah said, it's a future of hope and not of evil. So not only have I created you, not only have I rescued you, but I'm in the process of forming you. And it's not for you, it's through you for a purpose. God has you where you are today. You're not here by accident. You're not part of this fellowship by accident. He has brought you here on purpose for a purpose. And I want you to know, and it's his purpose. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. It's his, everybody say his purpose. He says, listen to me who created you, the one who formed you. And then he says, don't be afraid. And then he tells them why I'm telling you, don't be afraid. All through the Bible, when God begins to do something new, when he was going to lead the people out of Egypt, when he was going to lead Joshua past the Jordan to get to Jericho, when David was going, every time God's people were on the verge of a new day, of defeating the new giant, of getting to the next step of the journey, of the destiny that God had for them lives, every time right before he did that he was going to do, that only he could do, he would say, don't be afraid. Why do you think he was telling them to not be afraid? Because they were afraid. And he knew it. And then he said, and if you're not afraid yet, I've got someplace I'm trying to take you to. And if you're not careful, fear will paralyze you and keep you from my purpose for your life. So whether you're fearful now or you're going to experience fear in the next step in entering into this new season of your life, whether it's your family, your business, your church, he says, fear will try to grip your hearts, but do not make decisions based on fear. Make decisions based on faith. And trust me. So he says, do not be afraid. He says, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Can you just let that sink in for a minute? You belong to him. You're his. And then he says in verse 2, when you go through deep waters, notice that he doesn't say if you go through deep waters. Anybody here been through deep waters? It's part of the journey. It's part of the forming. In the midst of everything that happens, God is working something. Don't give too much credit to your successes, and don't get bogged down in your failures. It's all part of the things that God will use. The one who created you will use to shape you and form you, to get you to those places, to get your children, your family, your marriage, your church, your city, your region, this nation, to that place that God has determined for us to be. So don't allow that to steal from you the process, because shaping is painful and forming is painful, and you have to endure. And sometimes it's taken a little bit longer to shape some things in my life than others, but he's always faithful to continue to form us because he's created us for a purpose, and he knows exactly how we have to be shaped and formed in different seasons of our lives so that we don't lose hope and that we don't lose vision and we don't lose focus and we don't get so discouraged. You know, you can be somewhere and not be there. You can be in a marriage but not be there. You can be in the church but not be there. You can be at work but not be there. And God wants us to be present, because he said, if you'll trust me, I am a very present help in time of trouble. So when you go, he says, through the deep waters, I will be with you. I will. Who's the I in this story? God. He says, I will be with you. He didn't say, you're going to feel me, you're going to see me, you're going to hear an audible voice. He said, I will be with you. And then he says, and when you go through rivers of difficulty, anybody experiencing difficulty? He says, when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Any of you ever been on a white water rafting trip? Anybody here? Anybody been there? son. I thought I knew what it was until it was. Man. And, you know, I've had back issues. I fell off a deer blind about 15 years ago and broke my back and ruptured my bicep tendon. That was all broke up. And so I thought, should I go on that? I mean, will I survive that? Because I've heard all these, I'm a man. I went to speak for Pastor Allen and did a men's deal and said, well, I can't let these men think I'm afraid of getting a little bitty raft and a little water. Man, I was saying, what in the world did I get myself into? It started off real nice. You know, anytime they give you a helmet and a life jacket and they tell you whatever you do, don't turn loose of the side of the deal. Oh, well, wait a minute. Why am I having to hold on to the side of anything? Well, I'm taking a cruise down the Guadalupe River just kind of relaxing, aren't I? And man, we got in it, and then we got into some waters, buddy. It's like, and man, listen, we hit that first whatever it was we hit, because after that I was praying in every language I could muster. I mean, I was turning it loose. I said, oh, Jesus, in the name, Señor, ayúdame, Señor. Like, man, like, forgive me for thinking I could do this, you know, and then there's a guy that's sitting in the front of the raft with me. There's about six of us, and the next thing I do, I go, whoo, and I see this guy go, whoo. I said, was that there? And I look back, he's not there anymore. And I said, this is not good. And what they told us at the beginning was, there's some deep waters in here, so just, you know, don't let go of the side of the boat if you fall in, you know? And so we went, we got to this place and whatever. So it flipped. We all went out. And man, we were like, man, I remembered what he told me, man. I was holding on and I was thanking God for a helmet. See, I didn't think I needed to wear a helmet. Thank God. You know, sometimes God tells us to put things on, and we say, what do I need that for? Well, he knows what's coming, so if he says it, you better put it on. And so then all of a sudden, we're off to the side. Did I tell you this story, Pastor Aiden Thomas? We're off the side. We're recovering, and the guy also that was in there, he says, man, Brother Richard, thank God, don't let go of me. And he said, I don't know how to swim. I said, dude, what are you doing? All my life is full of I'm in boats with people that don't know how to swim all the time. I'm like, what is that? You know, I told a different story at 9 o'clock. He said, and I felt bad for him. So I got you, bro. I got you. Just, you know, I got you, bro. And I said, well, who's got me? I got him. Who's got? And then we're watching, and here comes another raft. And I said, oh, they're getting ready to go through what we just went through. And Pastor Allen, my friend, he pastors Resurrection Life Church in Pekin, Mississippi. He's coming, and man, the same thing got kaboom. And I just saw Allen go, whoosh. He's a big old guy, too, man. He's a big boy. And so he's coming. All we could do was watch. And so he gets tossed out of the raft. And the raft keeps going. And he's in the water now. And the next thing I need, I see his head come up out of the water and his hand. He was reaching for something, but he had turned loose. It just, I guess, the force. And then he went down a second time. And he reached out. I saw his hand one more time. But this time I didn't see his head. It was just his hand. And I said, he's in trouble. And I mean, I started praying again in every language I could muster. And all of a sudden, here comes the third, because we were a big group. Here comes the third raft coming. And the guide that was at the back kind of directing everything. And there's no way to stop or maneuver. He's going. I said, man, they're going to go. I said, hey, and I kept saying, he's right. There's right. I'm pointing right there. Right there. And as they're going by at this rapid speed, he kind of like knew, I guess it happened there before, and he stretched his hand down, and somehow he had grabbed Alan's life jacket and pulled him out of the water. Alan came back and told us, he says, I was drowning. I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it through this. And at the last moment, someone came by and rescued him. That's the God that's saying, I will be with you. And you're going to go through difficulties, and it might feel like you're drowning, and you've made every effort to get yourself out of that situation, and he comes in and he just grabs you and pulls you out of those deep waters. Alan came out of those waters, and he lost everything except his life jacket. So he is totally bare. This is my friend, a senior pastor in a growing church. And the boat that rescued him was full of middle school students. And he said, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. He says, and I had so much pride, I almost didn't let him pull me up over the side of the boat. Don't let pride keep you from being rescued and being pulled into the boat that the Lord sends your way to rescue you, to rescue your marriage, to rescue your life, to rescue your family, to rescue your church. He says, though it may feel like you're drowning, he says, when you're overcome with the rivers, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, when the heat is on, anybody been feeling the heat this last year? The pressure, the stress of getting it done, making sure that it goes, whether it's at home or at work or at church in your community. Listen, sometimes the heat is unbearable. The pressure is unbearable. You wonder if you're going to make it out of that. You wonder if that's going to consume you. He says, even though you go through the fire of oppression and you'll go through things that make you feel challenged and it make you feel less than, and you wonder if, man, I failed my family. I failed God. Everyone's given me a chance and now I'm sad and I'm in this oppression. I'm fighting it, but man, I just can't help it. I just can't get past this oppression and this depression that's trying to settle, this dark cloud that's come over my life and this dark cloud that's come over my family, this dark cloud that's trying to come over my marriage and over our churches and over this city and over this nation. There's an oppression. There's a pressing against God and His word and His plans and His purposes for us individually and as a church. But in the midst of that, God says, when you feel the heat, when people are trying to pressure you to be politically correct, when people are doing all these things to try and steal the only hope and the world. Listen, you are the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. You are a light that is set in the midst of the hill that should not be hidden. And I was sitting there this morning, second service, and the Lord said, there are sailors that are sailing through this place that are looking for a lighthouse to get them to shore safely. And the shore they're looking for can only be found in the peace of a rescuer who comes to save us and rescue us from all the challenges. Don't let oppression, spirit of oppression, goes in Jesus' name. That dark spirit, that spirit of depression that tries to sit on you goes this morning in Jesus' name. When God moves, everything else has to go in Jesus' name. So he said, listen, I've got something for you. You're going to go through some difficulties. He says, when you go through these difficulties, do not be afraid. Don't second guess him. Don't second guess yourself. You keep trusting him. He says, you will not be burned up and the flames will not consume you. And he says in verse 11, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Who are you counting on to rescue you? Who are you looking to do what only God can do? He reminds them, you're going to go through some things. And when you're going through some things as an individual, as a church, when you're going through those things, who are you looking to rescue? Who are you looking to come through for you? Who is it that you think is going to fulfill your life and make you happy? He says, I am the Savior. I am the one, that only one that can give you what you're looking for. I am the Lord. He says, there is no other Savior. Why are we looking for rescue in places and people that cannot rescue us? Come on, somebody help me this morning. God is a mighty Savior. He is the hero of every story ever written in the Bible. There is no other Savior. Then he says, first I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and I proclaimed it to the world. He says, no other foreign God has ever done this. You are my witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, catch this, I am God. He says, no one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of his hand. And then he makes this, man, what a statement to make. Our God does not lack for confidence. It's like he's trash talking to the enemy. He's saying, I know you think you're all that. He said, but let me know something. No one, he says, can undo what I have done. Man, that's a pretty bold statement to make. I mean, no one can take you from my hand, and no one can undo what I have done. Now, the question is, do we really believe that? Well, man, it sure looks like it's coming undone. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel the pressure of oppression. I have no hope. I have no joy. I just kind of like it. I believe in God, and I go to church, and I'm trusting Him. But man, it sure doesn't look like. It looks like my boss is undoing something. I think it looks like the decisions that they're making in Washington is undoing some things. It looks like, and he says, no one. Everybody say, no one. Come on, I want to preach to somebody this morning. No one can undo what I have done. And God has done some things. He's established some things for you, for this church, for this region. And no one can undo it. So then he goes on to say, and I'm the Lord who opened the way through the waters, and I'm the one that making a dry path through the sea. So you saw the miracle I did at the Red Sea. And then he says, you remember all that? Has God ever rescued you from something? Has God done something in your life that you say, that was just the Lord? That was just God? Has God ever loved you when you didn't love yourself? All those things, for the last 31 years, God has done amazing things in our lives. He's just good. And it's not because we've figured something out. He's just good. And I can look back at all the great things God has done. And as he was saying, by the way, you remember I started this journey to get you out of Egypt and get you to the promised land? And you remember what I did? That's what he was basically saying. I did that. I did that. And then he says this. It messed me up when I was reading it this afternoon. He says, forget all that. Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean forget all that? I mean, God, you're awesome. He said, not be unthankful for it. Be grateful for what I've done, but don't get stuck. He says, forget all that. It's easy to forget our mistakes and our failures. It's easy to say, I ain't thinking about that. I ain't going to think about that one. That was then, this is now. Well, what about the same for our successes? I'm grateful for the things that God has allowed me to experience a measure of success in, but he says, that's not all of it. I've got some things. This is a new day. I'm trying to get you somewhere new. I'm trying to get you the next step of a formation process to get you to the rest of what I have for you in this new season of your life. So don't hang your hat on your past failures. Don't hang your hat on your past successes. He says, forget all that. And listen to what he has the audacity to say. It's nothing compared to what I'm getting ready to do. What? I mean, does that what your Bible say or your phone or whatever you're getting your word from? He says it's not. How many? Let me ask this question again. I'm just going to meddle this morning a little bit. Is that okay, Pastor Thomas? I promise I'm going to finish this message here in about 10 minutes. Anybody here would say God has done something amazing for me, for someone? Let me just see your hands. And you're forever grateful and you know that God did it. If God hadn't done it, how many of you, okay. Man, I mean, I can think. And then he says, well, forget all that. Oh, wait a minute. He says, it's nothing compared to. He didn't say it was nothing, just not. It's nothing compared to what I'm trying to get you to in this season of your life. Nothing. Not even that. You know, I like the outdoors. I'm a deer hunter because I like venison. I like to eat. Lean meat. Well, now I do it. Then I used to eat whatever when I was younger. But I had this. I thought, I'll never shoot one better than that. It just can't happen. Think. Are you a hunter by any chance? Oh my gosh, how did I know that? Listen, God knows, God cares, and God helps. And that thing that you just like they said, man, I don't know if I'll ever get another one like that. He says it's nothing compared to what I'm getting ready to do. The next one's even better than that. So don't get stuck on that. He says, move forward until I lead you to the next one. Well, that's true for hunting, but that's true for every area of your life in this season of your life. He says, forget all that. It's nothing. Say nothing with me. Nothing. What is your name?
Derek.
Derek. Ooh, Derek. It's nothing, man. You just wait. It's nothing compared to what I'm getting ready to do. Now listen, I don't know about you, but that excites me and scares me at the same time. He says, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. He says, for I'm about to do something new. Everybody say something new. I'm getting ready to do something new. I've already begun it. Don't you see it? I walked up into the parking lot. It's very obvious that you're under construction. But you, the building is not the only thing that's under construction. You're under construction. Your marriage is under construction. Your children, your business, your church, your city, everything is under construction. There's a forming process that God is taking you through, and it's not to inconvenience you. It's not to make you sacrifice only. It's not for all those things. It's because he says, I have something that I want to do, and I'm going to invite you to be a part of the process. And so when you go through these challenges and difficulties, just know that if I've ordered it, it will happen if you will but trust me. Don't look for the old, look to the new. Don't you see it? It's very obvious. He says, I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers. In other words, create means to make something out of nothing. When you look at something in your life and say, there's no way it could happen because there's no place from which to start, God says, I'll even give you what you need to start. Creating means I'm going to take something and build something out of nothing. It's not reconstruct. It's totally create something new. Some of you have been looking to old wells for provision. Some of you have been looking for old ways, old thoughts. God says, I'm doing something new. And that's contrary to his word. The foundations of his word are the same. He says, but don't get stuck in that. Trust me to lead you in this season to the new. And when it seems impossible, he says, remember, I'm the God that not only forms, but creates. I can finish what I started, but I can also make something where there seems to be nothing. But it takes a miracle to do that. Well, who do you know that performs miracles? He says, I am. I am the only Savior, he said. I better go on. I'm not going to finish preaching this morning. So here's six words that I'm going to give you real quickly. Y'all ready? Six words out of this passage of scripture that I wrote on my Bible in this message that I believe is for this season of our lives personally and for you guys as we move forward. And the first word there is forget. I touched on that. Forget. Just don't get stuck in what was. Look forward and trust him to lead you to the new. The next thing is change. Everybody say change. He says forget. He says I'll do a new thing. Listen, how many of you really like change? Most of us, even though we say we like change, we say we like it until we see change happen. And it's like, ooh, I didn't think change was going to look like that. I thought he was. Listen, change is just change, and there ain't nothing easy about it. But there's no way to get to the new season without change. That's how come he says, forget, I'm doing a new thing. He says, there's change coming. Listen, healthy things grow, growing things change, and change brings challenges. But we can't get to the other side. We can't have a better marriage. We can't have different relationships with our children. We can't do what we need to do as a church or community unless change happens. The only thing in my life that has been constant over the last 31 years of ministry is change. Everybody say forget. Change. Don't be afraid of change. Remember he said, hey, by the way, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of change. Change unsettles you. Change breaks up the routines. And listen, when God begins to do a new thing, he begins to release a new level of authority. I believe there's healing in the house today, just like they were singing. He says, when God moves, there's healing. How many of you here need a physical healing this morning? I just want you to stand to your feet real quickly, and I'm going to finish this. If you need a physical healing, it's in my spirit. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet. If you need a physical touch from the Lord this morning. Well, what if he doesn't? What if he does? Pastor, why do you give people hope? What if they're going to be? What if he heals you today? And sometimes healing is instant, and sometimes healing is progressive. But God's the healer. He's the Savior. I want you, everybody, would you extend your hands to these? And would you just, we just unite our spirit and our prayer and say, Father, in Jesus' name, Psalm 107:20 says, you send your word and you heal the people. And then you said in Isaiah 53 that by your stripes we are healed. So in Jesus' name, listen, I don't know if you realize it, but you're in a move. God is moving. That's why there's change, and that's why there's shifting, and that's why there's challenging. So I say to you, my brothers and sisters, not because a man said this, because by the Spirit of the Lord and the word of the Lord, he comes and says, when God moves, healing comes. So would you receive your healing today by faith in Jesus' name? That's weak, let it be strengthened. Somebody here that's struggling with an immune, I wrote it down. Your immune system is deficient and lacking and weak. And God says he comes today to strengthen your immune system. And you, who's that person in here? He comes to strengthen your immune system right here, anybody, your immune system. And he says the congestion that you're feeling, not just in your life, but in here, is because it's a proof that your immune system is being strengthened and is doing what it's supposed to do. Do not let the congestion steal from you the strengthening of your immune system that will bring healing to your body. Let it be so. Back strengthened, oh God. Heart strengthened, oh God. This day be healed in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, come on, let's thank him this morning for healing. Be seated, please. By faith, be healed in Jesus' name. He says, forget, change. And he says, don't resist. Yeah, come on up, guys. Come on, there he is. I heard somebody was somewhere. He said, man, I know that ain't me. And then he says, it's already started. Don't resist what I'm doing. Cooperate with me. Then he says, I will create rivers, that talks about provision. He says, I will make a pathway, that talks about direction. And then he says, and I will refresh you, it talks about strength. Listen, the Lord comes today to help you forget, not get stuck, to be willing and open to change, to not resist him. Listen, you can't miss God. It's obvious what he's doing in our lives. It's obvious what he's doing in our churches. It's obvious what he's wanting to do in our nation. Everything's upside down, but the word says that let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. He says, just trust me. You're going to go through some difficulties. You're going to feel the oppression in your cities, in your homes, in your nation. You're going to go through things that are going to make you think that you're drowning, he says. But listen, in the midst of change, he says, in the midst of not resisting me, he says, I will bring you provision, I will give you direction, and I will give you the strength to finish and get you to that place that I said, and no one can undo. Come on, no one can undo what God has done. I'm not finished preaching, but I'm done. I got some more tonight for you if you'll come back. This is what I want to close the service with. And I'm believing for God to just continue to be who he is. In my life for 31 years, I left Laredo, Texas with two suitcases full of clothes. Lost my house, lost my job, lost my family, lost this. God has graciously restored our marriage. And my son, who's on staff now, is maybe a year old, and seemed like all was over. But God had a plan for my life. I don't know why. He saw something, like he sees something in you that you cannot see. Derek, he sees something in you you cannot see. So you even question that. Listen, God's bigger than all that. I know what happened. I know it was rough getting from here to there. God's bigger than all that. And I finally said, yes, Lord. And man, for the last 31 years, I've seen him. I've seen him do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can ask or ever think. It hasn't even entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. All he wants you to do is surrender and say, yes, Lord, all of it, Lord, just, I don't get it. I don't know. It seems like it's contradictory, Lord, but God, I'm going to trust you. For 31 years, he's directed my steps every step of the way. I want you to know he's a good God. And every year from year one to year 31, he's gotten gooder. I know that's not an English word, but it's my word and I own it. He's gooder than you think. I stepped into the hotel room and I close with this, and I'm going to ask Pastor Thomas to come back. And if you don't have, after the Chiefs win today, come back and let's do service together. Checked into our room. Sandra was with me, and we got checked into room 328, and Sandra looks at me and she says, 328? She says, because the Lord speaks to me through number. I mean, just, I see numbers in a different way than most people. And she says, so what is that saying to you biblically, honey? So she looked at me like, I know God's saying something to you. And the minute she said that, Psalm 32:8 came into my spirit and in my thoughts. We're at room 328, and Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide you in the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And I said, I receive that, Lord. He says, that's for you. He says, but that's for Rev City Church too. He says, forget. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be be afraid of change. Just don't worry. I mean, that was then, this is now. He says, forget, change, don't resist. I will provide, I will give you wisdom and direction, and I will strengthen you to finish what I've started. And I will lead you the best pathway for your life, for you, for your marriage, for your children, for your church, for your city. And I will advise you. He'll give us godly counsel. And I will watch over. He says, I'll protect you if you just stay in the journey with me. Amen? Come on, let's thank God this morning. Let's thank God this morning for his word. Let's thank God this morning for his protection, his provision, his direction. If you're here and fear is trying to give your heart, would you just say, Lord, no more fear. Come on, tell him, no more fear, Lord. No more fear of change. No more fear of the unknown. No, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm surrendering to you. Some of you here need to start a new day by totally surrendering your life to God. I said, God, I don't really know much about you, but if you really are who people say you are, then I need you. Would you help me discover who you are? Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you need to take a journey to discover who God really is in your life and watch him. This is a new day for you. This is a new day for me. This is a new day, a new season for this church, for this region, for this country. And when things seem impossible, God says, I am the God who never changes. I will rescue you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Let's thank him again this morning.